Last week we began our series by studying in Scripture and gaining some insight and understanding to the fact that we can know our purpose in life. And that's something that is sought out by many people, not just believers or followers of Christ, but anyone who lives, they want to know why they exist and what the purpose for their life is and where they can find meaning to life. And so we looked at Scripture and we discovered that we were created by Christ for Christ. And we arrived at a place where we gained some insight and some understanding to the fact that only the things that Christ does through us are those things that count in any way toward blessing Him and honoring Him, but also for our eternal reward. That's very important for us to know. So I want you to hear this again. We were created by Christ. Some of you say, well, no, we were created by God. We saw in Scripture that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And we studied in Scripture where Paul says Christ created all things. And so we can biblically say Christ was part of that creation. We were created by Christ. And we were created for Christ. For Christ's glory to shine through our lives. And you and I, we face a lot of challenging situations in our life that sometime can distract us from being who Christ intends us to be, based upon our desire to fulfill the responsibilities and the roles that we feel led to do. I mean, I'm a husband, and I'm a dad, and I'm a grandfather, and I'm a pastor, and so there are a lot of things that I have to do throughout the week that sometimes keep me away from, as surprising as this may sound to you, keep me away from being who Christ intends for me to be, doing the things that He would have us to do, because I fill my calendar up with stuff that I feel like I have to do. And that's kind of the reason that we're studying this together, the Sermon on the Mount, because Jesus, he notices that he has a lot of followers, and he recognizes that as he's going from town to town preaching that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that people are wanting more. They're clamoring for more information. So the Bible tells us that he just stops on this mountainside and he sits down and he says, here you go. If you want to know the meaning to life and existence, I'm going to share it with you. And last week we studied the beginning of the Sermon of the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, and we learned about these 9 ways of living, the character traits that we can know in Christ, that you and I can't act out upon ourselves or on our own. We require the Holy Spirit to lead us to be these kind of people. The 9 ways that we can be identified with knowing Christ. This week, we're going to look at how God intends to use us. Last week, we studied who we are in Christ. This week, we're going to study how God intends to use you and I in the places that He has us to go and be in, and then in the people's lives that He would have us to encounter. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Matthew chapter 5 once again, because Jesus teaches us there that there are 2 common articles that we as believers can identify with. One is very visible and the other is barely seen, but both are, according to Jesus, vital to our understanding of how He desires to use us as believers and passionate followers of Jesus Christ. Verse 13 of Matthew chapter 5 introduces us to this first comparison of who we are as believers. And Jesus says this. In fact, would you stand with me together as we honor the reading of God's Word? Listen to these words, because I believe that He's speaking to each one of us who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ this morning. He says this. These are the words of Jesus. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Father, I'm going to ask You right now to perform a miracle in this place this morning. within the hearts of the people who have gathered here to hear the study of your word and to grow in our understanding of who you really are and who you truly desire to be through us. I'm going to ask, God, that there be transformational change made in our lives. That the person that we walked into this building as not be the person that we leave as. That we would be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ as this word penetrates our hearts and our souls today. That we would understand the commission and that we would be strengthened and empowered to live this kind of life to bring you greater honor and glory. God, this is who we were created to be. We ask you now to perform a miracle in making us to be these people. And we ask it in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Jesus begins this part of the sermon by saying that you are the salt of the earth. You and 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 you. We are the salt of the earth. And he tells us this as both a commission as well as a command, right? You are the salt that I intend to use in this place in order for my glory to be seen in this world. I desire to use all of you in such a great way that it will surpass the normalcy of your everyday life, and it will actually command the attention of both the people of this world as well as the people outside of this world in the spiritual realm to understand the authority that I have in your life to do amazing things that go beyond anything that you would ask or imagine me to do in your life. You are mine. And I am yours, and I desire to use you in this incredible way that tomorrow's not just an everyday rainy Monday morning. Tomorrow is the day that I'm going to use you to bring me great glory. Because I'm going to lead you to places that you didn't know you were going to go to. And I'm going to allow you to encounter people that you had no idea that you were going to encounter. And when they see you, they're going to see me. And when they hear you, they're going to hear my word speak to them. And their hearts and their lives will be changed forever. Is that what you expected tomorrow for Monday morning? That's who Christ is in us. And that's how he desires to use us tomorrow as we embark on the normalcy of our everyday lives. Of our everyday week, of our everyday month, of our everyday year. I see believers today going, you know what? I believe in Jesus Christ. I place my faith and trust in him. I love him with all my heart. And I can't wait to be with him in heaven. And we leave out all the time that he's given us for his great glory to shine from within us so that other lives will be changed the way that he's changed and continues to change our lives. Jesus begins this part of the sermon by saying, you are the salt of the earth. Believers are to the earth what salt is to our everyday life. So let's consider a few of the important qualities of salt. First of all, salt is a preservative. In biblical days, obviously, they had no freezers. So the best way to preserve food was to add salt to it. Salt seems to serve as a type of antiseptic to keep meat from being infested with germs. When believers share the gospel, the truth about who Jesus Christ really is, we're offering an opportunity for others to know the one who will purify and preserve our lives on into eternity. Salt is a preservative. Also, salt helps create thirst. You probably all know this already, but when you ingest salt, it has this unique way of making you thirsty. When it's ingested, then suddenly we've got to have more satisfaction. We've got to have something that's going to quench this thirst that's created by the salt that's been shared with us. Our lives, they can be like this salt. It can make people thirsty for the one who will satisfy their thirst for peace, for purpose, and for productivity. While we're placed in the place that God has placed us in. Thirdly, salt adds flavor. Even though we're not supposed to have much salt in our diets, I think this is the one contrast to what we see. You can never have too much Jesus in your life. But for those of you that have placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ today, like I have, I'm thrilled for you. I can't imagine that anything in your life that has ever happened could be any better than that, right? But can I just tell you something? You can know him better today than you knew him yesterday. And tomorrow's a brand new day to know him even better tomorrow. And the more Jesus that we know and the greater we understand who he is and how he desires to use us, the more salty we are to the world that we're surrounded by. You see, a salty person, they're growing in their understanding, not only of who Christ is, but how Christ desires to use them individually in a very unique way and the unique place that we've been placed in order that we might bring him great glory. The sins of our life, they've been forgiven. We don't have that bondage anymore. For those of you today that are really struggling with anything, you fill in the blank. Maybe it's an illness. Maybe it's a hardship. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's relationship. Whatever it is, right? You're burdened with this thing. Can I just tell you this again, once again, just to remind you of this? What better place to do that than here at church on Sunday morning? Christ died for those sins so that you don't have to carry that burden. And where your life is not perfect today, things aren't going exactly the way that you would want them to go, Christ allows you to walk this journey through the hardship and the challenges that you face so that he may be brought even greater glory. Otherwise, he would remove it. If he doesn't take it away, he plans to use it to bring him even greater glory. And we ourselves, we wouldn't choose those things. We wouldn't desire for those things to happen. He has complete authority over all things. Amen? Right? Does he not? I mean, this is his world. He created. He can do anything he wants to. He could banish Satan forever if he chooses to. You know what he chooses to do? He chooses to allow you to have a choice whether you're going to believe Satan or you're going to believe him. And when Satan wreaks his ugly havoc in your life, he's going to say, who do you believe? Do you believe that I have more power than him? Or are you going to let him ruin your day today? Because I am the authority over him. And I let him do what's happening to you today so that you can show him who you believe in. Because greater is he who lives in us than lives in the world. Right? So that's where our faith and our confidence is placed. Not in our situations. Not when it appears that things aren't going the way that we want them to go, but in the one who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we'd ever ask or think. That's who we place our confidence in. And that's who makes us salty. God has chosen to use this truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ by being tangible evidence for anyone who sees us about how a person's life can be radically changed once they place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So I've decided to put it like this. A person moves from being changed by Christ to becoming a change agent after they're saved, and they reveal the transformation power that has changed them to others. Right? That's how God uses us to bring him great glory. God uses believers as conduits of his love through the purification that comes with our faith in Jesus Christ, the thirst that we have to know him better every day, and the zeal and the zest that we have for life as we experience the joy of living a life filled with love for God and for others that we're surrounded by, for the purpose that can be found only in Jesus Christ. In ancient times, salt was seen as a necessity in life because of its seasoning and its curative properties. it was actually one of the most highly prized minerals in biblical days. In many societies, it was so highly valued that it was actually used as money. In fact, some of you may know this already, but the word salary comes from the root word salarium, the Latin root word, which refers back to the way that Roman soldiers were often paid for their duties. However, if salt loses its curative and seasoning properties, it's really not worth anything. And when that happened, then people would take the salt that they once highly valued and prized, and they would throw it out on the pathways that existed outside their homes, and it would actually become gravel, being trampled by men, as we see in verse 13. So when we hear that, we hear an opportunity to choose how we'll be used. Will we be used merely as gravel? Or will we be used to invite others to know the Jesus Christ that we've come to know and to place our faith and trust in? Because hear this again, every believer can be used as salt. Our lives have been changed forever, but if we fail to exhibit this change that begins on the inside within our hearts and moves so profoundly and so miraculously that it actually begins to infect our actions and our thoughts in such a way that we are honoring God by the things that we do and the things that we say, and it manifests this way on an outward basis so that others may see the Christ that now lives within us. That's how he makes us disciples of men, to go and share this with others so that they can see the radical change that's transformed our lives. Someone once said that if salt is never poured from a salt shaker, it serves only as a useless decoration on a kitchen table. Salt has to be poured out. And when we fail to share our identity with Christ with others, we deny the very purpose in being used by God to change other people's lives. And if we as salt don't mingle with those who have no flavoring, what does that say about our love for God and our love for others who are seeking to find true meaning in this life? Let's continue reading together about the second comparison that Jesus makes in Matthew chapter 5. Beginning in verse 14, he says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Listen to these words closely. Jesus says that you are the light of the world. It's who you are and what you do when you say that you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. You cast His light. Jesus told his followers in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of light." You see, Jesus is the source of our light. Just as the moon reflects the sun's light, so too do believers reflect the glory of Christ through their lives. John adds these words. Listen to this very carefully. In 1 John 1, verses 5 through 7, John tells us, "This is the message that we have heard from him and now declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." You all look great today, and it looks like you've washed yourselves and you look nice. Your clothing looks great, and I appreciate that. I myself bathed before coming this morning. But can I just tell you, the light that shines from us has nothing to do with how we look on the inside, outside. It has everything to do with who we now are on the inside. Right? The life of Jesus Christ is what you see when you are so profoundly impacted by your Lord and Savior that it's impossible for you to keep it on the inside. It just shows up in your actions and in your speech and in your demeanor and in the hope that you have, even when you're going through a difficult time in your life. This is important for us to understand, because if a person claims to be a believer, they're no longer who they used to be. And I understand that there will be things that we fall back into. And listen, there'll be mistakes that we made. There's yet to be a Christian that I've ever met who hasn't sinned after they were saved. What's changed is our desire to live lives that bring honor and glory to God. So when we sin, we confess those sins, we repent of those sins, we turn away from those sins, and we move closer to Jesus Christ. We don't run from Him. We hold fast to His strength and His power and His glory, so that we can shine His glory through our lives as well. So I want you to consider with me what He says when our light's not shining. Jesus very clearly and poignantly tells us that my light is being wasted in you when it remains covered. It's not intended to not be seen and not be used. So here's the thing. I think we can look at three very important functions of light, like we did important qualities of salt, to discover how this light is to be used in our life. Important function number one of light, it dispels darkness. When light is introduced to darkness, there is light. There is only total darkness when there is no light. And when there is no light, there is total darkness. Here's where a believer comes into play. People are not always aware of the darkness that they're surrounded by. People aren't always aware of the darkness in their own lives until light is shown into their lives and into their heart. And Jesus says, "You are that light." Ephesians 5:8 tells us, "For you were once in darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord." And He tells us, "Live as children of light." The question we can ask ourselves this morning is, does my light cast enough of His light to help people see the darkness that is within them and that they're surrounded by? Here's the second important function of light. Light serves as a guide. We probably all heard the phrase, "follow the light," right? When in doubt, you follow the light. In fact, airplanes who are trying to land in the darkness of the sky, when they're looking at the runway, they don't look for a specific place. They look for the lights that tell them where they're supposed to land. The runway lights provide a guide for that pilot, despite the storms and the darkness that they're surrounded by. It provides the pilot with an understanding of where they can land and be safe. People that you and I encounter on a daily basis, they're looking for a safe place to land. And the safest place that we can land is in the arms of Jesus Christ. And that's who we share when we share His light through our lives. Paul encourages believers in Ephesians 5:14. He says, "For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, 'Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" Important function of light number three, light is meant to be seen. Believers aren't being used to their fullest, just as light isn't being used to its fullest when our lights remain covered or hidden. Light is meant to shine. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." Our faith is to be lived before men who can see who we believe in by the way that we live our lives. Light shines not only so that people may see the light, but so that they may see other things because of the light. You and I don't live lives that bring glory to God for our sake or to gain attention to ourselves. We live that way to gain attention to Christ so that they may know who we live for. And I understand that when we face some of these challenges, it's sometimes hard for us to understand that God wants to use us in that capacity to change other lives when we ourselves sometimes don't feel as radically changed as we read about in Scripture. But Jesus says in John 12:46, I have come into the world as light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. We are in a process of becoming like Christ. And there will be times when we don't feel strong, and there will be times that we don't act the way that Christ would have us to act. But we don't have to live there. We don't have to stay there. We continue to advance in moving towards the light of Jesus Christ as others see the light that lives within us. If you cover or you hide your light, or you inhibit the true purpose of that light being given to you, then you inhibit the true purpose for your existence. God does not intend for us to keep the great teaching that you and I receive in the studying of God's Word on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights and at your home Bible studies to ourselves. That's not just for our benefit. God casts His light in us so that His light can be cast through us so that others may come to know Him as well. You are the light of the world. And for some, that thought may be a little bit scary, maybe a little bit intimidating. In fact, you may be thinking, you know, that's just not who I am. I'm introverted, or I'm bashful, or I'm very, very shy, or I'm very unsure of myself. I lack self-confidence. Can I tell you, you're probably easier for Christ to use than people who don't go through situations like those. You see, you admit that you are really not able to do what only Christ can do through you. And when you admit that and you acknowledge that, that's when you have an opportunity to say, if there's anything that is good that's going to come from my life, then it would be from you. If you're going to use me in that capacity, God, you're going to have to give me the strength. You're going to have to give me the courage. You're going to have to give me the boldness. You're going to have to give me the words to say to these people, because it is not in my wheelhouse to live that way. And that's when Christ says, watch me go. Watch me use you in ways that you never expected I could use you. Just surrender your life to me so that your life can shine of my great glory. A believer who lives their life in ways that bring honor and glory to God, which can only be done by the power of the Holy Spirit, hey, that believer's life will never be hidden from others. The homes that are being built during the times that we described in the Bible, they were generally pretty dark, and often they were built with only one window in them. And so they were dark sometimes in the day as well as the night. And so this is what they would have to do. They would have a lamp in their homes. They didn't have power and electricity and light bulbs back then. You understand that. So they had this bowl that would be filled with oil, and there would be a wick in that bowl. And it's common sense for you and I to know that you wouldn't take that candle or that light and set it on the floor. It wouldn't cast light inside the whole room. So what they would do is they would take that light and they would put it in the center place so that it would fill the whole room with light. And it would be raised so that everyone could see when they came in there. And there would be times that they would leave. Back then, again, it's very challenging to light this candle. They didn't have matches and they didn't have lighters. So there had to be some kind of spark or fire to get this thing lit. So rather than put the fire out, that's when they would remove the bowl and place it on the floor. And then they would cover it so that it would not catch anything on fire while they were gone. The first thing that they did when they entered the room again was they would uncover the light and they would place it on the lampstand so that the room that they were in, it would be illuminated and they could see their way around. Some of you are to be used in that way as that kind of light. And if you're afraid and if you're intimidated, I want to encourage you with the words that the psalmist used in Psalm 27 verse 1, where he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So when Jesus is speaking this message on the side of a hill, he is speaking it to ordinary people just like you and me. And he's telling them, you are the light of the world. Today we are his light. We are his salt. And that's how God intends us to get his work done in the world that he's placed us in. It's not just the pastors or the missionaries or the ministry leaders that he's placed in our church. It's you. It's us doing this together. You see, the world doesn't understand how Christ intends to use Christians and believers. In fact, they kind of dismiss us as being a little off and maybe even a little bit awkward. They think of us that we're delusional and that, you know, we need a crutch. And so we discover Christ to be that support mechanism that people need to find when they recognize their own weaknesses and their lack of strength. But you and I know the truth of God's Word. And if we know the truth of God's Word and we've invited Jesus Christ to be our personal Lord and Savior, we have staked our eternity on the fact that He is who He says He is. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the light. And no one comes to the Father but by me. So despite what the world tells us to believe or not to believe, we are His light and we are His salt. And we are his messengers. Consider the strength of the collective corporate light today as a church. You know that city on a hill whose light will never be hidden? Do you know who that is? That's Wildwood. That's Wildwood Baptist Church in this community. Your light shines individually. I pray brightly wherever you go, but do you know when all our lights come in here together, can you imagine the glow in our community as we worship and praise our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ together? That's a bright light. And Wildwood is called and commissioned not just to this community, but to this state, to this nation, and all around this world. We are his light. So how can we get started to be salt and light for God? We begin living our lives of faith before others so they may see our good deeds done by the power of the Holy Spirit who fills us, so that anyone who sees us sees the Savior that we've surrendered our lives to. Jesus says that we are to let our lives shine before men in such a way that they will see our good works and glorify God. That's how we do it. We live daily for Christ. It would be really hard for you and I to imagine what it would be like to be God. I can't even fathom what it would be like to be the President of the United States. So imagining what it would be like to be God probably surpasses my realm of imagination. So rather than consider what it would be like to be God, why don't we imagine together as we close this morning what it would be like to be a candle maker? Right? Imagine that our job is to create candles. And so you and I, we make candles for a living. And obviously the candles that we make, we own. And imagine that there's a period of time where the power goes out and we need a candle. So as candle makers, we do what every good candle maker does. We reach for a candle. And imagine this, and this is going to take a lot of imagination, but imagine that as we go to light that candle actually speaks to us and says, don't do that. Don't light us. And as you look back at the candle and you're amazed at the fact that you're actually talking to a candle, and you say, why not? This is why I've created you. And imagine that the candle tells you, I'm not ready to be lit yet. I haven't really discovered the hows and the whys of being a light bearer. And so I'm investing a lot more time and energy into understanding that. Listen, Mr. Candlemaker, you don't know the detriment that a faulty candlelight can cause on the world today. So let's make sure that I've got my act together before I'm used to light. And so we say, okay, and we go to another candle, and suddenly that candle says, nope, I'm not actually called to the dispelling darkness motif. I'm more of a singer. And so this candle leads several of your other candles in singing This Little Light of Mine. And the room is filled with song, but there is no darkness that's cast out. another candle. It tells you, you know what I'm good about? I'm good if you send me to take care of the other little candles that you've made. I can watch them and teach them. But please don't expect when I leave here today to shine brightly. It's just not who I've been made to be. And still another candle tells you, you know what, I can teach other people about what you want me to teach them about, but to be honest with you, I'm not to be used that way. My gift is teaching. It's not illumination. How absurd would that be, that candles would tell the candle maker the way that they're supposed to be used, rather than accepting what the candle maker tells them to do and who he calls them to be. That may be a description for some of us today. And as I tell you that story, I just want you to know, I don't want you to feel any condemnation today. I want you to know this, that there's a word that's used in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, which will free you from feeling insecure about who you are in Christ. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 16. He says, "Let your light shine before men." Certainly a commission, certainly a command, but it's done on no effort of our own. You see, what he's telling us to do is to surrender our lives to him in such a way that the light that's already there, that already exists, that Christ has already placed in our hearts and in our lives, be seen to other people. So we turn to him and we say, "God, would you allow me to release whatever is a hindrance for your light to be shown through my life? Would you remove that? God, remove the distractions. Remove those voices that tell me I can't be that person. Allow me to be light that shines brightly wherever you lead me." Most of you know this already. I'm not a camper. It's not that I don't like camping. I think it would be wonderful provided there's adequate bathroom facilities and a comfortable bed to sleep on. I'm all for camping. But here's what I've been told by campers. I've been told that you can go to places that are hundreds of miles away from any city. And on a cloudy evening, when there is little or no phosphorus in the air, you cannot see your hand in the darkness 3 inches away from your face. Can't see it. It's there. You know it's there. And hopefully you don't hit yourself in the face trying to find it. But you can't see it in that darkness. However, when there is a city that's strategically placed, even 100 miles away from that campground, the light from that city shines enough light that it actually reflects off of the cloud cover and produces light hundreds of miles away. Don't underestimate the power of Christ's light in your life. You may not see the evidence of it working in other people's lives. It's not you who's doing the lighting. It's Christ who lives within you that shines so brightly. And one day, when you and I give an account for our lives, we're going to be introduced to people whose lives have been impacted greatly because of the light that has shined from within us. And that will be an incredible moment. I can't wait to see the people that you've impacted because of the power of Christ that lives within you. So as we close this morning, consider this. You are salt and you are light. And if you've placed your faith and trust in him, that is how God intends for you to be used. And if you have not placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, what better day than today for you to do that? To say, "God, I recognize I am a sinner. And I recognize that you are holy and you are pure and you are just. And because of my sin, I can't have this kind of relationship with you." Ask him to forgive you for your sins. Ask him to come into your heart and come into your life and produce that light that promotes an opportunity for that light to change other lives that you're surrounded by. One of the great ways of promoting his light is through baptism. And if you've never been baptized by immersion, here's what I love. The picture that we see is a person who says, "I died to who I used to be, and now I'm raised to new life in Jesus Christ." And you've got an opportunity to tell everyone who's listening, "Jesus is my Lord and Savior." The Bible says that there is an incredible celebration that goes on each and every time we acknowledge him as being such. Then lastly, let me just say this to you again. If you've never joined our church, there's so many different thoughts about membership. I just want to quell any anxiousness that you may have about that. We are a city on a hill whose light should not ever be left hidden. And so we need more candles. And I'm inviting you to say, I'm with you as we link arms and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit for this church in the place that God has placed us and in the time that He would have us to be here, so that this place shines great light on the community and throughout this nation and around the world. So if you'd like to join, let us know. If we can pray for you in any way, maybe you're going through a very difficult time, and we don't want to negate that. We would be honored to do that. And I'll be down here. We'll have some deacons down here as well. Come right to us and say, I'd like for you to pray with me. We'd be honored to do that. And then certainly this altar is open. We had many come in the first service that just bowed to Him and said, man, I want to be light. I want to be salt. I want to be that. Use me for that. And they released their lives to Jesus Christ for that kind of work. Would you stand with me now as we close?